You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Now, if you have been trying today to get me on the telephone, you have not been able to do so. And there's been a very, very important and special reason why, and here it is for those of you who are watching on our internet television channel. The picture that you're seeing is these two beautiful little girls are two of my grandchildren, and the little one there, the infant, had open heart surgery today. And so if you if your number popped up on the caller ID and it wasn't family, I didn't answer. I kept the line open so that my family could get in touch with me and keep me up to date on what was going on. But I am very pleased to announce her name is Berkeley, and Berkeley came through the surgery just fine, like a champ. She's doing great. She's in recovery, and so she's... She is again good news. She was good news when she got here, and now that she's apparently going to get to stay for a while, that's good news too. So I do apologize for those of you who tried to get in touch with me and could not, but I don't apologize too strongly. I would do it again, but I do want you to know why. The seminar, March the 29th, God's in the Garden Seminar, is coming up, and we want you to be a part of that. Now, you might say, well, you know, I can't come to Phoenix. That's okay. We're coming to you. It's coming to you on our internet television feed. But you do have to be registered in order to get the password that it will take to activate the video. And March the 29th is the day. Some pretty strange news coming out of NASA. Nothing really to do with UFOs, nothing to do with, really, with space exploration in the least. But, you know, they got this new unit, this new module that they're going to add on to the space station, or they're planning to, but... so far, they haven't been able, with the spacewalks that have been going on the past week, they haven't been able to get things prepared for the arrival of that that new unit. There are some things that would not cooperate. But anyway, NASA ran this online contest where they asked people to write in and to vote for a name for this new room that's going on the International Space Station. And comedian Stephen Colbert, I guess you're familiar with him, the Colbert Report. All right, well, Stephen Colbert convinced NASA to allow write-ins, and so that you didn't have to vote just on you know, the names that they had on their list. You could write in. Well, NASA agreed to that, and Stephen Colbert won. The new room, if NASA goes ahead with this, will be named the Colbert Suite or the Colbert room. But NASA says, well, we have the final word as to what we're going to call it. Let's see if NASA keeps their word on this one. He won, NASA. It's the Colbert Room. We'll be back with my guest right after this break. Don't go away. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Michael Elejian. He is the former director of NICUFO, working alongside Dr. Frank Stranges, who I am sure those of you who are longtime listeners certainly remember Dr. Stranges. He's been with us as a guest in the past a number of times. Michael is a well-known lecturer, published author. He's co-author with Aurora Light of a new book called Prepare for the Landings. And it's a pretty sizable book. I think it's 246 pages, over 240 pages. And I'm delighted to welcome him to the show tonight. Michael, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
I'm glad to be here.
Let me just ask you, because we have been doing some adjustments to equipment within the past 24 hours. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, and I hear an echo of myself.
Of yourself. We'll try to work that out. Okay. We'll try to get rid of that, but no promises. We're
okay.
We're experimenting here. We'll try to get it out of there. All right, look, let's begin back when you were working with Dr. Frank Stranges at NICUFO. You were one of the directors of that organization. But what was your involvement? Was it just...
Actually, I wasn't involved that long. We had, let's just say, Frank was a little strange, like his last name, I guess. I had a little problem with some of... You know, it's human beings being what they are. We all have, you know, our human petty side that sometimes can get in the way of the more important things in life. So I just felt that, it was interesting to be a director for a while, but I felt it was not kind of expanding like I wanted to experience my particular research and experiences that I was having. I felt it was a little bit hindering, you know, limiting kind of for where I was going.
Okay. Now, you just mentioned that it was a little bit limiting it for your experiences.
Yes.
Were you having some UFO encounters or encounters
actually,
with ET?
A little bit of my background, for those who may not be aware of me. Of course, you can also go to my couple websites. One is channelforthemasters.com. We can see some more of my background. See, I came into this life, unlike most people, without the cosmic amnesia veils over my mind. So the reality of extraterrestrials was very real to me since the time I was born. And so I knew the reality before I even came to Earth, in a sense. And the experiences I later had verified that those memories and also that those of us who are actually volunteers in Earth embodiment, terms star people, indigos, walk-ins, there's a lot of different terms, have back cosmic backup to help us while we're on our missions down here. And they've the human-appearing ETs, the angelic Elohim beings that I have had contact with, have intervened many times in my life, saved my life, intervened to stop the cabal from actually off. The cabal meaning the shadow government, the industrial military complex. Black ops have sent things against me, and I'm still alive because of that backup.
Why would look? I've been doing this show for a number of years, since 2000, and so this is not new terminology for me, the cabal or shadow government.
Right.
But we do have new listeners each and every day, so let's just sort of do some basics and explain what are we talking about here with the cabal or the shadow government.
Well, there's also the word Illuminati, power elite, shadow government, as Eisenhower referred to them, as the industrial military complex. basically the power elite, corporate America even, that's involved in it, that are threatened by, let's just say, other choices that they don't want the public to be aware of. One of my missions has been to expose that power and to expose it and bring it out in the open and eliminate their power once and for all on the planet. So they tried to off me a few times, but again, I'm still here.
Mm-hmm. How did they try to off you?
Well, there's been numerous, let's say, both the more traditional sense of assassination and a more exotic form originally occurred in 1979, which was my second encounter, being physically taken aboard what they call the Merkaba light ships, the higher consciousness vehicles, that there's actually a federation of light up there that the human-appearing ETs are major members of. And they intervened, and I was hit with a psychotronic beam. Now, psychotronics is a form of acoustic kind of energy, an exotic weapon system. We call it psychic deadly force that was aimed at me. They targeted my frequency, and basically my physical body died on this level, and I was taken physically on board the ship and brought back to life. My DNA RNA was altered by the Elohim aboard the craft, and there was a couple reasons for that, not only because it wasn't my time to go, I had a mission ahead of me, but it was also in activation for certain work that I do, as you'll see in channelforthemasters.com, because I was originally trained as a channel through the Edgar Cayce tradition or method of channeling. My father was a professional stage hypnotist, so actually from an early age I was actually doing what I call karmic readings for people to give them insights, but I always knew I was supposed to be a cosmic telephone line. Basically, higher masters would speak through me. So when they had me on board the craft, these human-appearing ETs, and some of them were beings I had known before this lifetime. I was just meeting old friends that I had known. And one being named Corton, who in a group called the Ashtar Command is a communications technician who opens up people for communications with them. So I had known him in the councils. And when I connected with him, again, it was like meeting an old friend. And I can tell you, when people ask me, what was it like being aboard one of these type of Federation light ships, and I can say to people, well, first of all, I didn't want to come back. I wanted just to blitz out on that level. I say often, trying to give a rough comparison. Think of the most beautiful feeling you've ever experienced, multiply it about 1,000 times. It might come close to roughly describing the kind of feeling that I was experiencing in this state of consciousness. Even though I had experienced intense terror and intense trauma, moments before they had taken me on board, my physical body had died, as they said, because I got hit by this energy beam. So when they took me on board, brought me back to life and altered my DNA RNA so I would not be vulnerable to that kind of an attack. But they also made it very clear to me there were things that I needed to do on the physical, pragmatic level, kind of like the old aspect of God helps those that help themselves. So when I did my role, my part, and they did those, it was an unbeatable combination. I would not be vulnerable. Plus, in these sessions I do, they actually have me an energy beam from the Merkaba, and they're downloading these higher light encodements that are unique to each light worker, and so it helps to activate you and tune you into the same source.
All right, now, we're talking about two different groups here. We're talking about whoever it is that shot you with this beam, and then we're talking about another
right.
group that revived you. So the group that shot you with the beam, which group is that?
The Cabal, Illuminati.
Okay, but they're human?
Complex. We call them black ops, but it's the government is very compartmentized, and all I know is the government has been involved in remote viewing psychic assassination for many years. I actually met agents through the years who've told me they actually were trained to kill people with their consciousness using certain types of machines, devices that they would hook into, and very advanced things based on technology they got from the Greys, the Renegades that are not members of the Federation, because there was an exchange that went on with different kinds of exotic technology. One of those was weapon systems that they developed or altered for their own particular level or advantage of how you would use it. So I met guys who broke away from these teams, who woke up one day and realized that they were on the losing side because they knew eventually there would be a consciousness shift happening throughout the planet. And some of these guys I've met told me that they actually remember being, when they woke up one day on the Merkaba, planning to incarnate into human embodiment and infiltrate what would become known as the Cabal to blow the whistle or help to sabotage some of the negative attempts to impact this planet in a negative way. So they verified from there more through a bureaucratic point of view, but also having awakened, they remembered also being in those situations to connect with people like myself to get it out on the public level a little bit more.
Okay, but when we're talking about the Cabal, And this is what I want to clarify for everyone. Are we talking about a group that is entirely human, or are we talking about a group that is extraterrestrial, or is it a group that is made up of both?
Well, it's kind of both. Mostly human, black ops, you know, but there's, I would say, reptilians connected with them, grays connected with them. Beings are not exactly, you know, shall we say, in harmony to the sacred principles of life. Majority of them are human, but there are negative renegade ET groups that have, in the past, shared technology.
All right, and the ones that took you on board the ship then, who are they, and what are these human-looking?
They are totally human-looking, but it's the qualities of their essence. I would also call them Elohim, angelic Elohim, human-appearing, higher-dimensional beings, but they could walk the streets of Earth. I met a few incognito ones in years past, dressed in Earth clothes, walking around, but it's the consciousness, it's a feeling and energy they have, and when they look at you, they look right through you, kind of. They have very intense eyes. But also the love and the light energies that they give off, you just feel incredible fellowship with these benevolent ones. But the cabal or the MIBs and these types, it's not exactly beings you want to hang out with.
All right, now how many encounters did you have, or to date, how many would you say that you've had with the cabal?
Well, I've only had, I know of two physically being taken on board under life-threatening situations. The first time occurred when I was 6 years old, growing up in Southern California in a little town called Vista, about 7 miles from a town called Oceanside, which is about 40 miles north of San Diego. And my first encounter occurred because walking along the Oceanside Pier, I got up on the railing, got myself in a dangerous position, and ended up falling off the pier. And in that moment of terror, falling off and forgetting about things like gravity, it's quite a drag, it tends to pull us down. One moment I'm falling, next moment I'm back on the Merkaba. And I say back because I remember saying goodbye to these particular beings that were standing there. Now, they were dressed in several blue metallic suits, but had they been dressed in Earth clothes, again, they would have looked like an average-looking person down here. That's how human-appearing they were in appearance, but it was their consciousness, it was their energy, it was their very atmosphere that exhibited around them, and they immediately began to take away my trauma. Very quickly, they had this thing come up from the wall, will go up and down my body, and in taking away most of the trauma, because when you, and what they were doing is realigning my chakras, because when you go through traumatic experiences, your chakras can be out of alignment because of that kind of trauma you're going through. So they realigned it and got me back into balance. And it was kind of interesting because in this encounter, it was very important because I remember saying goodbye, this being named Orion, who I had known and connected with another group in the Federation of Light called the Jerusalem Command that's connected with Dr. Hertek's information. They work with the Ashtar Command very strongly. They're key members in the Federation of Light and have authority to intervene for planetary interventions coming up here not too far in the future. And he told me about I was going to connect with Ashtar, who was very much a part of this planetary evacuation and divine intervention that would occur at some point. Well, three years later, approximately during the Cuban Missile Crisis, when I was watching President Kennedy's news conference, and I initially got a little caught up into the drama and fear of the possibility of nuclear problems, and Ashtar communicated with me, came to me in the etheric, and he was standing there and saying to me, we're not going to allow nuclear war because it's against Federation policy. And he began to give me a little historical insight about how the world leaders did not want to adhere to higher laws that the Federation stand to, but they would intervene and block any attempt to create nuclear problems in the future, even though we still had to take some responsibility on our level, but they were going to step in more and more and actually eliminate that as a problem. But he said they would, the world leaders would hold it over our heads to make us think that there might be a problem, using fear and control as they often do. And that's what they've been doing for many years, well knowing that they would not be allowed to ever do it, but making the public think that would be a problem.
On your website, I read this statement. Now, this is this is the website that it's called UFO West or
UFOWest.com.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, folks, that's the one that's linked on our site. If you scroll down and you see the information about tonight's show, you see a picture of Michael. If you click on his picture, it takes you to his website. But on that website, I read a pretty interesting statement. I'd like to get you to talk with us about it a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
It says it's talking about sensational reports from the files of the CIA, NSA, DIA, Air Force, Defense Department, and State Department reveal startling new evidence that UFOs have landed and that benevolent human-appearing extraterrestrials have let the military know of their high-tech equipment many times. What sort of evidence are you talking about here?
Well, one of the sources that for many years I was told through Ashtar and others that they had actually come down and had contact with our world leaders. And in fact, Dr. Michael Sala, who I had on my program, Cosmic Connection, which is an internet show of my own, I interviewed him just recently. He has put out a lot of documentation referring to that President Eisenhower on February 20, 1954, as one example, the Federation light, the human-appearing ETs, landed on the tarmac at Edwards Air Force Base and actually had contact with Eisenhower and a number of the officials at that time. But, of course, the official story is that Eisenhower was at the dentist getting a tooth cap taken care of. But the evidence shows there were a number of people there that were actually connected with not only with the Catholic Church, for example. McIntyre was one of the people, and there was people from the newspapers, and there was different people representing different segments of society. And Dr. Michael Sala has documented quite well and interviewed a number of people and basically checked it out and has verified that there was, in fact, an attempt through diplomatic relations with human-appearing ETs to help this planet, but, of course, the cabal, the government, turned them down. There's also other evidence through the years, having spoken with people, too, that refers to the UFOs coming down over major military installations and demonstrating their ability to shut down their equipment, their nuclear missiles, whatever they want to do, and cases of people who have witnessed, in fact, the UFOs coming down and hovering over key military bases and actually affecting the outcome. I talked to guys who worked at NORAD who talk about this really, really heavy door that used a special code to open it, and it would open by itself, and they could feel presences inside NORAD, and also how their system got shut down when there was actually some problems. Backup systems failed, and one guy I talked to said, I don't know all what's going on, but thank God somebody out there is watching over us, because we were able to resume control. Even though other times it appears the higher forces have actually shut down systems that they would have gone into nuclear status. So there's been intervention many, many times. And then also, Ashtar told me during the Chernobyl incident, when the Chernobyl reactor, for example, was creating a major problem, and it did contaminate Europe to some degree, but Ashtar told me that it would have been extremely worse if they had not brought down, he said he brought down a Merkaba light ship, it hovered over the reactor, and they actually dropped the rad level on the instruments. Well, sure enough, years later, the KGB, when they began to release documentation about UFO events in Russia, Soviet Union, one of those incidents it documented in a document was describing the cleanup crew going into the reactor, and they were actually kind of ordered at gunpoint, this is your job, you've got to go in there. Well, as they are approaching the reactor, in the document, they described the UFO coming down, hovering over the reactor, and I'm watching the rad level on their instruments drop. So there's been certain references to ships coming down, landing, or hovering. These are just a few examples, intervening, stopping some worse situations that could have occurred, and these are just a few of a number of things that I've heard through the years.
All right. We have a break coming up here in about less than about 10 seconds. And when we come back from the break, I want us to pick up there with that event, and we'll move forward. All right, folks, we'll be back. More with Michael Elezian right after this. We are back. Let me remind you that all of the music you hear on the Kevin Smith Show is from independent artists. We don't use any commercial music here. It's all independent artists. You can find the music we're using at GarageBand.com or at music.com. podshow.com. All right. My guest is Michael Elezion. Michael, whenever we went away for break, we were just we were talking about these incidents. Several incidents occurred, and you mentioned a couple of them, where extraterrestrials, UFOs, intervened. Chernobyl was one of them, and you said that this was verified in KGB files that have been released. Is that right?
Yeah, one of the documents that came out when the KGB, after the Berlin Wall fell, all this UFO material became available in the West, and one of the documents was about the Chernobyl incident, which was an important verification to me, the fact that Astor, having communicated with me as a channel, told me he brought a Merkaba. They call it a Merkaba light ship. That is a higher consciousness vehicle. Brought it down over the reactor and dropped the rad level. So even though it was still a contaminating problem, it would have been many, many times worse. So this was an example of intervening. And so later on, when the KGB released the documents, one of them was about this incident. From their particular point of view, they refer to it as a UFO, as an unidentified flying object, but that it came down, hovered. It was basically disc-shaped in size, basically hovered over the reactor, and they actually watched the rad level drop on their instruments, as it describes in the document, and which is very interesting to get. This is like some of the confirmations I get through the years. I'm told things, or I'll meet somebody, or I'll get a document that verifies that these things happen. I do want to mention to your audience, too, that for those that want to learn a lot more about it, now you also, Kevin, are going to be a part. We're doing a conference, which Ed Grimsley mentioned the other evening when he was your guest, Sedona, coming up on May 22nd to 24th at the Sedona Creative Life Center. It's a wonderful, it's called Ed Grimsley's UFO Skywatch. If you go to UFOSkywatch.com, you can get all the details of it. It's a wonderful chance to see the UFOs, the ships flying around through his military-grade night vision glasses. You'll see things up close that are miles out there, and it blows things up, and it's awesome. And for those who've never experienced it, skeptics have to say, well, there's definitely stuff flying around up there. So this is something that Aurora Light, I, and Bill Alec and Ed Grimsley are doing, because we feel it's important people know the reality. We can see them flying around, not just as a theory, but it's actually there, blows things up, as I said, that's miles out there, so you can see them quite clear, fleets of them flying around.
You know, Michael, one of the things that really chaps me, I don't make a big deal out of it, but it just personally really chaps me when you get some skeptic on, and a lot of times it's a skeptic that's dressed up like a UFO investigator.
Uh-huh.
And they'll say, well, you know, he could be seeing, it might be a flock of birds, or it could be bats, and I mean, you know, they know when they say that, they know that through night vision, whatever is looks like what it is. A car looks like a car, a tree looks like a tree, a bird looks like a bird, a bat looks like a bat. It's just right. That you can see it at night where normally you wouldn't be able to.
Right.
And but it still looks like what it is. And these things that, I don't know if they're terrestrial or extraterrestrial, but that's why we say they are unidentified.
Uh-huh.
These are UFOs. They are flying way, way up there. And you'll see them flying in formation. You'll see them, really moving fast, stop on a dime, turn, go another direction. It's not flares. It's not birds. It's not bats. It's UFOs. And
yep.
Whatever that means, it's UFOs.
Tell you, Kevin. Now, again, well, I can't prove this, but I'll tell you, beings who have intervened in my life who have shared things with me, I have reason to believe what they're telling me is true based on my experiences, because of knowing and they have intervened, and they have told me that there's a lot going on up there, that this planet is surrounded by the Federation of Light and Guardian Action, that they are actually right now cleansing the heavens. It was kind of biblically prophesied that there would be a cleansing of what I call the cosmic riffraff. A few of the percentage of beings out there, most of them, 99.9% are benevolent, but there's a little group of renegades that's kind of like existed ever since we could say there was a galactic war that happened. And now because there's an energy, my sources say there's an energy manifesting in the universe, which is one of the reasons we see the sun. Everything in the solar system is changing vibrationally. The sun is actually, everything is changing into like a different molecular kind of composition, so to speak. And so because of this frequency shift, that's never happened ever, and because we're coming at the end of four major cycles, one of those never happened before, but it's aligned with a 26,000-year planetary cycle, any of the riffraff, any of the negative duality, let's say, that's existed, it's kind of being given an ultimatum. Either they align with sacred principles, or they're going to be cleansed. They're going to be recycled to the Godhead, in a sense. And there's also, in my understanding, there's an astronaut corps on this planet, part of a secret space program. Some have called it Alternative 3, where they have been back engineering, actually using crashed some of the less advanced craft from the Greys and some of the others, and they've back engineered it, built some of their own craft. But to me, it's like Model T technology. It's like a Model T against a Maserati, or, you know, the Federation can outmaneuver them any time. But what Ed is being able to show is some of these battles that I'm told is this final cleansing operation, and that they're, because of the energy shift, there's so many Federation light ships around the planet that wherever these negative entities are in the universe, they're being recalibrated to suddenly appear around the Earth so the Federation can basically clear them out of the heavens so they don't interfere with any of the intervention coming up in the future. And I believe what people are seeing is combinations of some of the Earth vehicles, plus, which are kind of backward, plus any of the renegade forces being taken out by the Federation. And the Federation has some of these special Delta craft. They're related to the Elohim, where they're cleansing. They're specifically taking on and giving these beings a choice. Do you want to align with this? And I've been told that some of the black ops that are aboard some of these craft, kind of like the old cases in the 50s where Air Force officers were ordered to fire on the UFOs, I've talked to guys who, you know, said that they've heard through the grapevine that when some of these pilots would disappear, the evidence seems to suggest that they ended up aboard the craft, given options, because in the higher forces, they don't look at them as enemies. They look at them as basically interfering with the divine blueprint. So if they don't really take them out, they give them a choice. The ship may blow up, and I've heard people ask, well, if there's a battle going on, why isn't there any all of this residue of the explosions of the craft? Well, the Federation Light has told me they're clearing the heavens of any of the stuff that would impede or get in the way of the higher intervention that's coming up in the near future. So I would say in the next two or three years, by 2012, all of the battles will be over because the energy will have cleared. So all they're doing is clearing the heavens. But this is a chance for people to see these battles sometimes, and fleets of them flying around as they're gearing up. What I'm told is going to be mass open contact. And they're waiting until enough of the interference is out of the way. People have woken up. I think what we're experiencing the last 2 years is a major planetary frequency shift that's getting people ready, getting all jazzed for what's going to be a wonderful experience that we've all deep down know. I had memories from the time I was born that this was a promise. And so when I published the book Prepare for the Landings, this is basically just the blueprint of what they've been planning for a long time. But now we're reaching a point that we need this outside help. Technologies are available. It's time to quit struggling and open up to some really good choices that the cabal has been blocking. And because the people have asked, we need help. 99.9% of everybody on the planet on an inner level said, come on, we need your help. So it's a cosmic done deal. It's just the $64 million question, when are they going to do it? It's based on a number of factors. I think possibly by 2012. I don't know, but I think we're getting closer to it. And I think time is going to show here in the next 2 or 3 years exactly where the level is at that's going to allow this.
All right, let's talk about your book, Prepare for the Landings.
Yeah.
The title itself implies that there is coming a, it sounds like it would be a major event. Is it going to be public? Is it going to be, you know, we're all going to see this?
Oh, yeah. This is kind of like in the biblical thing, which we have to reinterpret based on modern understanding, but when they says every eye will behold it. I mean, if you see, you know, some of these ships out there, I'm told, that are thousands of miles across, that, you know, literally, I'm told there are ships right now that are over the cities that are they're cloaked. They're not having to cloak themselves. They're ready for that moment where every guy is going to see. We're literally talking about the thousands and possibly millions of ships up there coming down closer and closer. I mean, they don't want to create panic. They don't want to create an incident. And one thing they're concerned about is that the cabal, in the typical fear, false evidence of being real psychops that they'd like to pull in everybody, I think 9/11 was one of the last events that they got away with, major events, which was a wake-up call to everybody. They're waiting. Basically, the government would like to announce an invasion. You know, if you go back to Wernher von Braun's, his understanding was that the power elite had several scenarios, And the last scenario they had was to try to announce that we're being invaded. President Reagan talked about that. So the higher forces have been having to be kind of low-key a little bit on one hand, but they're showing themselves more and more, gearing everybody up, getting used to seeing their ships and so on. And they just want the consciousness of the planet to shift enough that people are not going to go into fear. And I think there's a much larger number of humanity that is ready, that's open, and would be more open with all the movies and everything that have come out. I also think there's been a lot of an attempt to negative movies to put fear as well. But I think overall there's been more of a positive preparation that has been played out through movies and things, reality presented in fiction form. Now, my book is not fictional, but it's based on my experiences and also what I've been told, based on not only what I've been receiving, but other contacts in these channels, which dovetail. The only question is timing, dates. We have learned that any time we try to predict a date, for example, the cabal will immediately set up an operation to use that as a scenario to attack. There's been some instances where the people have tried to predict, and I hear behind the scenes that they were going to instigate a major situation that would have killed certain people if they could have carried it off. The higher forces don't want that to happen. So I don't think they're going to really give a date, per se. I think they're going to make their move based on people's consciousness when people...
Okay, well, we just lost audio. Are you still there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, we lost your audio for a second or two.
Oh, okay.
All right, look. Why? Now, we've got a minute and a half here, a couple of minutes, before we go to break. So I want to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Why do they even care? And let me set it up and explain the perspective that I'm coming from in asking that question.
Okay.
If you come up on an anthill is the world to ants. They live there. They breed there. They grow up there. I guess they go to a little ant school there. Whatever ants do, they do it in their anthill. And they venture out and go seek for food, and then they come back to the anthill. Okay, so they are very interested in their anthill. It's their cosmos.
Uh-huh.
I am not interested in it. I don't care what happens to those ants. Maybe I should, but I don't. They're bugs, and I don't really care what goes on in the anthill. Now, I would think that these beings would be so far advanced of us that they would look at us much like I look at an anthill. This is all the world to us, and we scrap and fight and kill each other over it, but it's just our little anthill. Why would they even care?
Well, first of all, if you're looking at it from a purely what I call a mundane human perspective, I understand your analogy of the anthill on one hand. On the other hand, there's examples of many people who, as they evolve and become more spiritually aware, they realize the oneness and unity of all life, that maybe, you know, that we're all connected, really. And what happens to the anthill, in a sense, indirectly affects us as well when we see the unity and connection of all life in many teachings. This is something that not only is a belief system, but there seems to be some evidence that there's an interaction, a synchronicity that's going on among all life forms.
All right, we have to take a break. It's taking over. Our mics will go dead. We'll pick up there when we come back. We'll be back right after this, folks. Don't go away. Oh, how sweet it is. Michael, we get outside help once in a while that we don't ask for.
Right.
They just intrude into our show, into our lives, and prove for all the world that they're enemies of freedom and democracy and enemies of the Constitution. And during the break, some one of those enemies of freedom knocked our video feed right off the air. But fortunately, the deal is we have a workaround already set up. So it was off for about 1 second. So it's back up. But you must be rattling some cages, Michael.
Hello?
You must be rattling some cages.
Oh, well, you know, when I first put up the new website, prepareforthelandings.com, where you can order either as an e-book version or get a paperback version, they got into the website, the cabal, they altered words, and they did it a few times. And so finally, and at one point they altered the price of $12.99 to download it to $1,299. And I thought, hey, I appreciate their tender, loving care. If they want to pay me $1,299, I'll take that to fund some projects. That's great. And I thought to myself, you know, initially I get irritated, and I think to myself, hey, I must be doing something right, just like you are, Kevin. If we're that much of a threat, hey, I appreciate their tender, loving care. As long as they don't take away my sense of humor, no problem. It just keeps confirming the importance of our work. And they don't understand if they're trying to block the book coming out. Actually, when you create controversy, it actually creates more interest and more, you know, controversy. So I welcome if they want to try it, but our friends upstairs also can overshadow and knock them for a flat. Let's just say make it a little difficult for them, too. So, you know, it's like it's two can play the game.
Yeah, well, they're continuing. I'm watching it over here on the control monitor, and they're continuing to knock it off, and it comes back up. Okay, all right, cool. You're exactly right. You know, I've said this before, and it's a less kind version of what you just said, but these must be the stupidest people in the whole world, because when they do this, it's just like if they took a big highlighter pen and highlighted everything you just said and then screamed, pay no attention to this.
Right.
Well, and it draws the whole world's attention to it.
Yeah, they treat us like mushrooms. They keep us in the dark and feed us, you know what?
Yeah, you're right. let me say to our outside help, thank you for being so stupid that you mark yourself as enemies of freedom worldwide with an audience that's massive in 95 countries. They know you, and they know you are their enemy because they love freedom. And certainly here in the United States, we know you as enemies of freedom as well. All right. Now, we were talking about why do these guys even care?
Well, and, you know, as they saying, they just don't get it, and that has a lot of meanings. They're threatened, basically, I think, because of their loss of power. You know, if we go back to the 1950s and this whole thing of, oh, people can't handle the truth. No, they can't handle their loss of power is the real truth of the whole thing.
Yeah, but now back to the extraterrestrials, we were talking about why do they care? I mean, you know, and we were talking about the analogy of the anthill. Of course, I realize that I can only look at things from the perspective of being me. But
right.
From the perspective of being me, if I can imagine that if I were an ET and I'm looking at this planet, and I'm looking at these creatures on the planet who seem to be absolutely, totally dedicated to not thinking, and secondly, leading with their emotions and killing each other. I think if I did, you know, do a little pass around this planet and saw what was going on, I might say, I'm not going to stop in this town. I think I'd keep going. I can't imagine why they would care.
Well, first of all, it's kind of like which comes first, the chicken or the egg. How many millions of years do we need to go back to the so-called beginning of some of the problems that this planet, you have to understand it from a spiritual, metaphysical point of view. The universe goes through these cycles. It's kind of like there's schools, and Earth is one of those what I call karmic training schools, where the less advanced souls that were called the laggards because they were lagging behind at the ends of great cosmic cycles, a few planets being set up for that, was set up so that these less advanced souls, the laggards, could progress and evolve. The problem occurred after the physical human bodies were created in the likeness of these Elohim. That's when the Anunnaki, the Nephilim, the reptilians came in and kind of screwed the whole experiment up by manipulating the laggard's lack of discernment, lack of higher wisdom, and because the Elohim were responsible, we felt, okay, we've got to take some responsibility, but we still must respect free will. Now, the fine line is that free will, when it gets out of hand and could destroy other planets, there is a set of laws called the Galactic Pact, non-interference laws, that they are feeling mandated they've got to step in, and plus Earth can't be allowed to be destroyed. So there's several various reasons. And then also, metaphysically, there's a whole group of us, about 20-some percent of the world's population, I'm told, that are actually volunteers in Earth embodiment. Directly, our souls are from off the ship. We left the higher body in storage. We're here. I have memory of being on those higher worlds. The beings I had contact with are part of my extended cosmic family. So love is universal. And let's just say that the Ashtar Command, the Federation of Light, their love, their compassion is the same level of their technology. Can you comprehend that a being who could be as compassionate that they're not going to give up on, they're not going to force up down our throats, but they want to make it available to us so we the people, because our world leaders didn't care. I think it's time to kick our world leaders to the cosmic curb and call in some beings who really do provide us with some quality. I think that's what the cabal was freaking out and subconsciously afraid of all along, that we wouldn't need them anyway, and we'd go for a better choice, a better group of beings who don't have all of the pettiness and bureaucracies that we have to deal with.
All right. That brings me to this question, and probably the last question I'll be able to ask before we get to our top of the hour break. You say that these are human looking. So right. The question that comes to mind then is, okay, why? Are we related to them?
Totally.
Okay, how?
Well, first of all, when human, HU-MAN, or the Admin Cadman, a sacred blueprint of our body was first set up, we had 12 strands of DNA RNA, 10 of those being a little more etheric. Well, when the Draconians, the renegades came in, they shut 10 of those strands down to make us slaves to the reptilians. Now, because we were supposed to evolve, and the plan got interfered with. So the higher forces felt responsible. And so they had a plan that they would allow volunteers to come in Earth embodiment, that we would intervene, live as humans to a degree, but retain an essence of higher DNA RNA that would ultimately manifest as other DNA RNA capacity, and that's starting to happen now.
Okay, now who are the Draconians?
Well, the Nephilim, the Reptilians, there have been 13 major families that were, I feel, Reptilian, that have they basically had all the power, but they're being told by the higher forces, you either align with us or the energies will fry you, basically. All we're doing is going to make sure that planet Earth will not be destroyed and allowing humans to have choices that you've been blocking.
Okay, so the Draconians are basically the dark side.
Yes.
Okay.
They like to pass laws called Draconian laws that restrict our rights and freedoms.
All right, and if we refer to them as Draconians, how do we refer to the beings on the other side? We've got about 30 seconds here.
Elohim, angelic, higher forces of light, universal beings who have a federation of light, who care about free will, care about quality of life, and want to provide those of us who do want a better way with that option.
All right. Outstanding. We're going to step away for a break here in just a few seconds. When we come back from this break, we'll open up the telephone lines and allow you to call in with your questions and comments. Let me say, for those of you who are joining us by means of our Internet TV stream, we continue to be hit. I've watched 3 times now the video stream get cut, and our workaround starts automatically reconnecting us. That's not something we're doing. That's something that's being done to us. I would assume our guest may be hitting a little bit too close to the target. He may be, in fact, hitting the bullseye. I know some of what you're hearing, if you're new to this, may sound a little bit off the wall. But consider what's being done to us. It must be right on target, else they wouldn't care. I'll be back. My guest will be back. You'll be back, too, right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Let me say very, very quickly that those of you who are joining us on our internet TV channel, we're not doing those disconnects. That's being done to us. And if it happens again, if it keeps happening, you just refresh your screen and we're coming back on, all right? I wish I could stop that, but I can't. There are enemies of the Constitution, enemies of freedom, enemies of citizens' rights that are employed in such manner, and they're displaying for the entire world in a way that foreign policy and ambassadors never could what they're really made of. And what they're really made of is they don't care about freedom or constitution. But they're exposing themselves, and that's good. That's good for the whole world to see it, because much of the world is tuned in. And by the way, they just cut our video again. All right. they're going to keep doing it, apparently. We're going to open up the telephone lines for you, and let me say before I open the telephone lines that if you live outside of the United States, you live outside of Canada, you can participate in this show without having to make an international long-distance call. And you do that by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, you'll see a link that says Flash Message. And all you have to do is click that link and send me a flash message. Now, you have to be outside of the USA. You have to be outside of Canada. If you're in Canada or the USA, we have telephone numbers for you. And those telephone numbers are 602-539-9580. Or if that would be a long-distance call for you, if you're not on a calling plan where you can make that call free, you can use our toll-free number. It is 888-223-4599, all right? And let me click a button or two here, and the telephone line is open. 602-539-9580 or 888-223-4599. All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello there, Michael.
Hello.
Hello there. I don't know if the audio is holding up or not, is it?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, you can hear me all right, yeah, because your screen keeps going on and off all the time.
Yep.
I got most of the show, at least, thank God. Michael, do you know what Bob Dean?
Do I know who Bob Dean?
Yeah,
I know Robert about Dean him. I've never really interacted with him, but I'm familiar. Are you talking about Robert Dean?
Yes, sir.
Yes, well, I'm familiar with his research, and his research verifies the fact, Astor has told me, that, you know, Bob Dean said that one of the things that the military-industrial complex was concerned about is that some of the human-appearing ones were so human-alike, they could walk the streets, the halls of the Pentagon, and even in the White House, and you wouldn't know that they were ETs as physically off the ships. And so his level of security, having a very high level of security, has verified the things that I was told in channeling many years ago, that they had come down, interacted, attempted diplomatic relations, and in a sense, indirectly, try to cooperate, basically, to try to get the government to open up. But what I understand more recently is they realized it was useless to try to work with the government indirectly and chose to work more spiritually by influencing people on a spiritual level and helping people realize that we the people, like be for the people, by the people, it's time for us to regain our power and our influence. And it's like the first shall be the last shall be first. So I see that the people are starting to rise up in a spiritual, symbolic sense. And with that, the higher forces are noting that and are starting to step in to help us overshadow our process, to help us get some satisfaction finally, such as technologies that are about to be released. And I understand Obama just signed an executive order, which is forcing the military to become more transparent and will actually ultimately release anti-gravity technology very, very soon. So, in fact, I hear the cabal tried to off Obama about 10 times because he's a real threat to them with his purpose, I believe, is to give the people back some opportunity that the cabal tried to take from us.
And, well, these beings, these human-looking ones, are they the ones
right.
that Kathy Davis had described as being quite tall with blonde hair? Would they be the ones with the very, very, very blue eyes, or would that describe more the Anunnaki?
Well, some of them can be Anunnaki, but the ones that there are many different groups that are human appearing. In fact, there's been certain whistleblowers that have said, one person said there were over 55 types of human appearing ETs that have come down and interacted. Some of them are extremely, you could never tell the difference between human and them. There's a number of whistleblowers that have, Clifford Stone was one of those who came out and was connected with recovery of crashed UFOs, and has observed some of them that have come down. There's a lot of them that are here incognito. Since the 1950s, there's lots of them, thousands of them, all say almost millions, in fact, in different, there's bases all over the planet, and getting ready for this time ahead where officially they will be able to be acknowledged and that will no longer be planetary quarantine. They recently have lifted that and are about to make it official. So we'll have intergalactic cultural exchange going on here. They've just been waiting for the government to get out of the way and the people to demand change, and this is what's starting to happen.
All right, Kevin, thank you for the call. We have to move along. We have other calls lined up, but thanks so much. You mentioned that about 20% of the world's population are, we'll say, they are extraterrestrial. They are here on assignment, so to speak. And you've said that, okay, and you are one of these, right?
And I also believe you are, Kevin.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yes. Did you ever see that list of NASA star people characteristics at my website, channelforthemasters.com? If you look at that list that Brad Steiger, working with NASA engineers in the 1970s, I was interesting about the fact that when I was taken aboard in 1979, that last major contact, while I was aboard, Corton, who I met, who was a major member in the Ashtar Command, he told me, he said, you're going to come up on a list of characteristics that are going to help identify. It's kind of like a visual, physiological reference point, because the theory behind it is that when we as a higher being come into human embodiment, born in the normal way, or we can also be what is called a walk-in, where there's a soul transfer or soul emergence, we bring an energy with us. We bring a consciousness with us. And depending how much of the energy we've been able to retain is how many of those characteristics we'll end up having. So I invite the audience to go to channelforthemasters.com, take a look at that list, and see how many of those that you happen to have. And sometimes people drawn to this reality may say, well, I don't have very many of it. That may be because they repressed or suppressed that energy. But the people who are drawn to this reality usually have at least several to a third of that list or more. I have almost every one of them because I came in with conscious memory, so I retain more of the energy within my essence. So it affected my DNA RNA, and it actually manifested. And so 2 months later, after I was told on board the ship, when I came upon that list and I saw it, it was really wonderful to have something that people could use as a reference point after Brad Steiger had did all this research.
Well, I'm interested in, I've been called a lot of things over the course of the many years I've been alive, including since I'm now doing this seminar called Gods in the Garden. I wrote a book, and we're doing a seminar on it. When I released the book, and then now that I'm doing the seminar, I've been told that I am the spawn of Satan, deputy devil. I am the Antichrist. But I've never been told that I was an ET.
Yeah. Well, organized religion is very threatened, but you know, the Vatican, for example, I talked to two people who were allowed to go through the Vatican records, and they both told me that it is the biggest UFO metaphysical library in the world, and that eventually it's all going to be released. And the Vatican, you know, they've set their investigators. You know, if you go back to Fatima, that was a UFO experience, and I know I believe Mother Mary did project out of the ship. There is actually cases of other contactees that have seen Jesus and Mother Mary projecting out of the spaceships. And I think the Bible is a UFO extraterrestrial casebook. If you study the cases of Ezekiel, you know, the pillars of fire and the great cloud that received Jesus, I think those are cases, references to terminology, the best way they could describe extraterrestrial craft.
All right. Let me remind our audience of our telephone number, 602-539-9580, or toll-free, 888-223-4599. Well, but I'm particularly curious as to why you think I am.
Well, there you have a certain energy that, you know, your openness, your, let's just say, you've created a forum that allows people to become aware of alternative thought, alternative choices, and it takes somebody of a certain caliber, of a certain level of a soul. Like I would call you an old soul. What I say, you've been around the intergalactic block a few times. That's what Ashtar says, that you're highly evolved and aware enough to be attuned to some of these things.
Let me, I would not disagree that I, in many ways, I think am different than people around me. Not better, but I see things differently sometimes.
Uh-huh.
But let me announce this. The interference with our video stream is continuing. They're now beginning to interfere with the telephone line, the incoming telephone line. There is a call that has come in that I have tried twice to bring up on hold, and it will not release it to our system. So just so that everyone out there knows what's going on, this afternoon at about 5 p.m., I, as is my practice, put on the website the information about who was going to be on the show tonight. Very shortly after that, within 15 or 20 minutes, the studio here was under surveillance. And I was sitting here doing some work, and my producer said, there's a guy sitting out there watching us, watching this place, and he keeps writing notes on a notepad. He keeps writing things. And being the sort of individual I am, Michael, you know, I'm sort of this way. If you think you need to see me, you don't have to make an appointment. I'm right here. So I just went right outside and stood there and watched him. Uh-huh. And he drove away.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kevin. Back in 1982, and my Aurora Light and I were traveling at that time, and the National Enquirer actually did an interview and had a hypnosis session with us. And we started being followed heavily with agents, and we were in a hotel room in Detroit. And this one space brother named Monka, human-appearing ET, that actually in a higher level represents Earth and a higher type of council, because we have been quarantined by the Federation. Well, I knew there were agents in the room above us, in this hotel we were staying. And at one point, Aurora was followed a few times with cars and everything. She came back and said, I got to do a channeling to find out what's going on. And so we did a channeling, and Monka comes through me. And he channels through, and when he channels through me, direct voice, he goes, let me introduce myself to the agents in the room above. He said, we in the Federation are very loving, peaceful, compassionate beings, but we don't like our emissaries being harassed. He referred to us, and he said, besides, we have about 100 agents in the physical or etheric around you two, referring to Roy and I at all times. And he said, ever heard of the wrath of the gods? And he was silent for a few moments, letting it kind of sink in. They're very loving. But on the other hand, as they tried to off me a few times, when I went to New York, after we had an experience of, you remember, Mrs. Hemsley, the Queen of Mean, she threw us out of her hotel, destroyed us almost financially. Well, we were getting ready to leave New York, and these guys were standing by the car. Now, I didn't really know that much who they were, but Aurora saw them, and she said, step on it, and we left. But we turned, and later in channeling, they explained that this was Rothschild's assassination squad that had been sent there to. And but in that day, the master said that their hands were kind of paralyzed, like they couldn't pull their hands out of their coats. Now, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when they reported back, and man, talk about being reamed up. You know, talk about being the holy holy's taken to them. Well, all I can say is when these people screw up on their mission and they can't off the emissaries, it kind of backfires. Instant karma comes down on them, and hey, we just send love and light in their direction, but on the other end, we're not going to let them run ripshod over us, we're not going to be intimidated, and as long as they don't take away our sense of humor, you know, that's important, to keep our humor about the whole thing, not be too attached to it, but just be the guardian to the process.
All right, the telephone number, folks, is 602-539-9580 or 888-223-4599. That's toll free. Now, let me say, it's interesting to me, the audience count, I'm watching the audience count, it's way up like normal, and the phone is dead. I am absolutely convinced that we don't have all those people out there listening to what they know to be a talk show, not wanting to talk. I'm convinced that they're being blocked. But, you know, if what you're hearing here tonight, folks, there's no question about it. It's edge information. There's no question about it that it's controversial. You know, the way that you find out what you think is true is you ask your questions of the people who are making the statements. All right? So you do that by giving us a call, 602-539-9580 or 1-888-223-4599. Let's, we have a call coming. I'm going to... I'm using a whole different method to bring it up on the on air, and let's see if it makes it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Tony from Alberta.
Yes, Tony.
So I got a few questions for Michael.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. Michael, have you
yes.
heard of the Raelian Group?
I think I know your. Let's see. Yeah, over in France.
Yes, yeah, Claude.
Raelian. There are various different contacts that have happened. I'm not that attuned too much to what they're into, but I have met some people who are from that group who some of the things I feel attunement to, and there's other things that I have a different opinion about. So, you know, it's like agree to disagree. We don't agree in all things, but there are various different variations of contacts that have happened.
Yeah, I was wondering about that because they call themselves the Elohim too, eh?
Right, there's different levels of Elohim, and
yeah.
That's one thing that we're going to be discussing at the conference on May 22nd, 24th at the Skywatch. You go to Skywatch, UFOSkywatch.com and find out information about it, because this is a chance to hear a lot more and also see the UFOs through the night vision glasses, you know, see the reality as they're flying around, where it's no longer just theory. You can see them, they're there, and we're also doing, I'm going to be doing a presentation, and other speakers will also giving insight about some of this as well.
Okay, the other question I had is, you know,
yes.
other guests who have been on, and
mm-hmm.
they said, you know, that the extraterrestrials, they can manipulate your mind to really think, they program you, in other words, that you actually think you're doing certain things, but really you're not doing anything. It's just that, how do you know this is not happening to you?
Well, as I said, I knew from the time I was born who I was associated with. I understand about how the dark, quote, dark side has been able in the past to manipulate people's awareness. On the other hand, with the planetary frequency shift coming up, it's getting harder and harder for the old things like MK Ultra and certain forms of mind control that the cabal developed, that program is starting to break down because, you know, spirit is indomitable. We as beings that are sovereign on any level, we have a right in our present Earth life, and it doesn't matter whether it's human, galactic, or interdimensional. We have a right to choose who we hang out with and live our life as sovereign beings, as our forefathers believed in that sovereign state. So the Federation is also very much in and feels very strongly that we're universally sovereign, and no being has the right to manipulate us. For example, the government made a deal with the Greys to let people be abducted and changed for technology. And that, the people weren't involved in that, or we would never have allowed that to occur. So that what the Federation of Light is doing is allowing us to regain our free will, regain our choice, regain our sovereignty, and choose better choices, and that our world leaders haven't wanted us to choose. So we're gaining our free will, but knowing that we have a good cosmic backup team to help us, as they've saved my life, intervene, help me. And the one thing they say, we cannot force help down people's throats, but we wonder, we welcome the invitation for them to come in and help us in a more direct way. I think it's inevitable. I think our consciousness is shifting. So any form of mind control, any form from whatever source, is not going to work. It's going to break down because our spirit, our essence, is demanding change and demanding integrity and accountability at this time.
Good answer. Could I ask one more question?
Yeah, you'll have to be quick, though. We have a break coming up.
Okay. I just wanted to know, have you heard of Dr. Strange's, that he met this guy and he went to the White House? And
yes, I've heard about the story of Valiant Thor. Now, whether Dr. Strange's later experiences was real, I do know that those photos that he had in his book that were taken at Howard Menger's meeting, I'm told, are authentic. Valiant Thor, Don Thor, Elsa, and a couple others that were Venusians, and that's an example of various other incognito beings dressed in Earth clothes during the 1950s. Howard Menger was also a famous contactee, and that's why they went to his meeting there. And George Van Tassel was a famous contactee I know from back in the 1970s before he was physically taken off the planet. There's a lot of those experiences in the 1950s that I think were authentic. As far as later contacts, I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. Good show, Kevin.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the call. We are still. I'm watching this happen. I'm just amazed that these guys would would be so dumb. But they continue. Someone continues to disconnect our video, and then of course it reconnects automatically. But I'll say again to our audience, that's not us doing that. Those are people who hate your freedom that are doing that. It's not us, all right? So 20% of the Earth are, for shorthand, I'll say ET. They're human-looking. They're in human bodies, but they are souls from out there.
Yeah.
We were created with 12 strands of DNA. 10 have been shut down or disabled
But they're being reactivated.
When the geneticists working on the Human Genome Project get into working with DNA, do they see 12 strands?
Well, I understand that they found a third, quote, that they couldn't account for a number of years ago. The question would be, in recent years, with the new shift of frequency happening on the planet and everything, including the sun, is changing to a new composition, so to speak, how open are they? How are they leveling with us what they really know? Or are they holding back knowledge that threatens their position of power if they're connected in any way with the cabal as far as black op projects and things of that nature? How open are they? How forward are they going to be as far as admitting, really, that our human bodies are actually changing vibrationally is the question. I'm told we are changing, but how aware they are and their instruments be able to know that to what degree. I think some of them do know it, but they're not coming forth to talk about it.
All right, we have a break coming up. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines again, and I want to talk about the 10 strands if they reactivate and get an answer to the question, okay, so what? What happens when the full 12 strands are activated? We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest is Michael. Well, you know, Michael, I tell you what I'm going to do. I know I've probably not said your name right all night. How do you pronounce your last name properly?
Elegion.
Elegion. I've been saying Elegion.
It's the cosmic French.
Yeah. Elegion. Okay.
Elegion.
All right. Now, before we went away, let me announce this. We're going to try again to open the telephone lines. Folks, the telephone number is 602-539-9580. Or if you need to call us toll-free, 1-888-223-4599. 1-888-223-4599. Or if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message. I'll read your question and we'll ask our guest to respond to it. Or I'll read your comment if it's a comment. All right, now, when we went away for break, I said, okay, if these 10 strands get turned back on, so what? Now, I don't want you to answer just yet, and I'll tell you why. I'm going to try and bring a caller on. I don't want this caller to be on hold long because people are messing with us, okay? And so I want this caller to be on the air. So let's go to the phone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Rick from Kentucky, Kevin.
Hi, Rick.
How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
They're being tough on you tonight, I tell you. I've had to reload and switch sites and everything else to keep hearing you, but I was really kind of skeptical when you first started, but just like you said, they're giving me more and more reason to believe.
Yeah.
I've never seen it like this.
Oh, this is the worst that we have been targeted in, and you know, we get targeted frequently. Usually it's cut off the phones. But this is the most harassment that we have enjoyed in many months. So, as I say, no matter how off the wall some of what you hear may seem to you when you first hear it, just look at what's being done. It seems to me that they're putting a big highlighter pen over everything Michael's saying and screaming, pay attention to this guy.
Absolutely. I was really skeptical when I first started and then the attack started. And, you know, why would somebody go to this trouble? It's something's going on.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason they would go to this trouble is that he's saying things they don't want us to hear. Another reason is they don't respect the Constitution, and they are enemies of freedom and democracy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I just wanted to let you know that we're getting through. You're getting through, but kind of having to work to listen to you, but I'll be here listening.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Did you have a question?
I'll listen to it tomorrow. Thank you, Kevin.
All right. Yeah. I'll tell you, we've got some of the greatest folks in the world as listeners and just wonderful people. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Hello, hello. Okay, that one isn't going to make it. Let's try this one. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? All right, that one didn't make it either. So what's the deal? The 10 strands get turned on, now we're operating on 12 instead of 2. And so what's the big deal with that?
Well, the big deal is all of our powers and abilities, kind of like what our ET friends off the planet accept as normal, will start to occur. And in fact, I'm feeling that one of the reasons there's, you know, when I talked earlier about my channel sessions where the beings, they have me actually an energy beam from the Merkaba and they download information. Well, these what I call higher light encodements are placed on the tape of these sessions that I do for people. And now I found that some of the movies, some of the TV shows actually can be affected by higher energy. It's kind of like a more collective consciousness. And some of the ideas presented in fiction form, abilities, powers being activated, is very much connected with this consciousness shift. That, and so people's abilities are going to start manifesting that threatens the cabal's power. But it's a natural evolutionary shift that this planet is going through. So So the, you know, things like chemtrails, for example, which is a whole subject I could go into, the reason they put barium and some of the other crappy petrochemical poisons in that is to try to stop our 12 strands from activating. The dark alchemists who control the petrochemical and pharmaceutical cartel, connected with the cabal, are trying to stop or delay this activation. Now, they can't stop it. They're just making it a little more challenging. And there's things that I'm going to talk about at the conference on May 22nd, 24th, what we can do to strengthen ourselves and not be affected and poisoned by these kinds of things.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
You're getting hammered tonight.
Yeah, we are getting hammered. But, you know, there's one thing about this show. From the very beginning, we've been hammered, and we're still standing.
Yep, that's good. I'm afraid that they're getting about ready to pull the Internet because I think they're getting scared. I think they're too arrogant, and I think Total's about ready to pull back the curtain, but the old wizard ain't going to have a balloon to take off in.
Well, that's true. And if the Internet goes, there are other ways of communicating and getting the word out.
Yeah. Yeah, so that just, like I say, it makes me one of, you know, everything hang on to a lot of the words of your guests, you know, just because you're getting hit so hard. I mean, you know, it just, it's plain as, you know, they could be telling it themselves that it's how, you know, relevant they're making it.
That's exactly true. And look, Michael, I've never met you, have I?
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
All right, until today, we had not talked.
Nope.
All right. So it is a true statement when I say, I do not personally know that Michael is genuine and truthful in telling the truth. You can only say that about someone that you've been around and know for a long time. I have no reason whatsoever to doubt that he is truthful and genuine. But whenever, see, I'm hearing all of this from Michael at the same time you are, Terry. We're both hearing it from him for the first time. Okay. But whenever you start hammering the show like this and you start trying to disrupt and tell and keep people from hearing what Michael is telling, when you do that, what you do is you send up fireworks and flares in people's minds and, you know, big neon signs that say, this guy's telling the truth. That's what happens when you do this. So these, whoever it is, I mean, I can't say that they're government agents. I don't know that to be true. It may be teenagers on the corner doing it. But when you do this, whoever you are, aside from labeling yourself as an enemy of freedom and democracy, you label yourself as an abject idiot. I mean, this is really the dumbest thing you could possibly do. If you don't want people to pay attention to Michael, ignore him. Would you agree, Mike?
I'm sorry. You know, I was adjusting my headset right there. What you were saying.
Well, I said if they don't want people to pay attention to you, they need to just ignore you because they call attention to it.
It's like they just don't get it about human psychological factors are changing. People are not going to be intimidated any longer by what they used to be able to pull the wool over people's eyes, to manipulate us through fear, false evidence appearing real, to make us all get all agitated. Instead, people are demanding accountability, demanding truth, and that is an energy that's spreading around the planet. And so these forces are very desperate, and if they don't align with the light, don't align with our consciousness, they're just going to be frying in this higher energy that comes in.
Yeah. Terry, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. And let's go to the telephone line for another call. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jason from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, good to talk to you tonight. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's on your mind?
And, my question is, I was wondering, in the Bible, it talks about Jesus being taken up in a cloud and everything, and he said he's going to return one day and set his kingdom up on earth.
Okay.
And I was wondering what that has to do with everything you've been talking about tonight.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because though I believe that there's been a lot of religious dogma that was added to what happened, I also believe very strongly based on, I think, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, there was all these things. I was 8 years of age when Jesus appeared to me. I mean, I was sitting in the back of my house in Vista, California, and boom, he's there standing beside me, and I would call what I call the archetype thought form. He's dressed in long robes, hair set, and he was as real. I could have reached out and touched him. And he's standing and looking at me, looking down on me, because I'm sitting, you know, I'm 8 years old, looking, sitting on the back porch. And he's standing there, one moment, and this is, I know this is going to blow a lot of people's mind, but he disappears and he reappears a few moments later. He's dressed, and this is how it was, and tell him the truth, dressed in silver, gold, metallic jumpsuit. Same being, says, I'm your commander-in-chief, and he gives me the name Lord Sananda. Now, what's significant about it is that name Sananda has popped up in many other sources of channeling, and that I have memory of that life being when I remember him being beamed aboard out of the tomb. I saw this great cloud, and him beamed on board. I can tell you that was a real experience, because he said to me, telepathic, he said, remember that lifetime. And I also believe very strongly that the Shroud of Turan is an authentic thing, because if you're going to fake a document, why would you put AB negative blood, which is the rarest blood on the planet, didn't exist until he manifested it. You would have used another well-known type of blood. But AB negative blood showed up on the Shroud, and there's an energy about that that I believe he manifested his presence on that that would one day be scientifically verified. I think there's a lot of religious dogma that sprang up to use fear, but I don't believe he taught dogma. He taught truth. He taught higher knowledge. And he demonstrated we were all going to experience an ascension. We're going through that planetary ascension now, and we're raising our vibrations. And so I believe he came in to set higher truths, but there's been a lot of, you know, manipulation of those original experiences.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Did that answer it for you? Okay, well, that one is gone, so let's... bring this one on. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name's John. I'm from Gulf Breeze, Florida.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing? Michael, you mentioned that the Vatican has this the largest library of all this information.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you heard about the British releasing all these new files today. I was just curious to know whether the Vatican sort of has the last word on who can release the information.
Okay, John, tell you what, we're going to have to take a break, and we'll get to that answer right after this break. Thanks for the call. Folks, don't go away. We'll be right back. We are back. Michael, let's address that question. What role do you think the Vatican may be playing in either constraining governments to not talk or now perhaps encouraging them to talk about UFOs?
Well, it's very interesting because the Vatican astronomer last year, I believe it was in May, came out and basically said, belief in ET does not conflict with your belief in God. And he even referred to them as our brothers, which is interesting because the word space brother, which is actually a word of respect toward these human-appearing ETs, which are getting ready to make an appearance, I believe the Vatican has been, is aware of the fact what's coming up, and I think they're getting ready to release a lot of information. I think inevitably they have to get humanity up to date, what the Vatican has known for ages and covered up to a degree. I think there's starting to be a shift in their policy, knowing what's inevitable. Now, how fast they're going to release it is the question, but I think inevitably all truth, I don't care where it's been suppressed, all the skeletons in the closets of everything is going to be thrown out in the open. And so get ready for it. Fasten your seatbelt. I think also Obama is getting ready to do a disclosure thing that, you know, and it's interesting because when President Carter tried many years ago, he was reminded he was just basically a puppet. But I believe that Obama has chosen some of the people of his cabinet were there during the Rockefeller Institute. Institute years ago when they discussed about ending the UFO cover-up. I don't think it's any accident some of the people it chose who happened to be there that he's gearing up for the eventual disclosure. I think we're ready for it, and it's just a matter of time.
What makes you think that he's gearing up for disclosure?
Well, some of the things, even Stephen Bassett, for example, has talked about, and some of the work he has done connecting with some of the administration officials, people he's in contact with, that there was about 8 or 9 people in Obama's administration who happened to be coincidentally at this meeting in Rockefeller's Institute when they were actually discussing ending the UFO cover-up. The chances of him not having chosen him is for that reason. I mean, it's like the percentage of it would be too extreme for it not to be considered as a possible, you know, move. I think he's definitely what I feel about Obama, what I tune in. In fact, there's a whole chapter in my book, Prepare for the Landings. Go to prepareforthelandings.com. You can order the book. There's a chapter on, I believe, is his spiritual connection and why, you know, what's going on behind the scenes is I think there's some interactions, and I think he's very much more aware than most people are aware of the ET reality. And I think he's kind of waiting for that moment when everything will align a certain way and it will all come out.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. This will be our last call this evening because we are racing towards the end of the show. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hi, how's it going, you two?
Good.
Real good.
Hey, I had one question for each of you, or one thing for each of you. The first one was for Kevin. When you were saying that it was kind of like observing ants, I think that there's a lot of humans that would observe ants, but most of the population wouldn't be that interested. The same probably goes with aliens. The second thing for our guest would be, I always thought there would be some kind of a galactic light government or alliance. I don't see why, if there's all these intelligent civilizations doing all these different things, that they wouldn't have some kind of a governmental system too, whether they're watching over us or not. But I do believe in a federation of light. And third thing was, and I'll hang up after this, the third thing was disclosure will have to happen because there's more and more sightings, and I think they're getting us acclimated to it, whether it be the ETs or what. But I was just going to say that in the end, we've all got cell phones now. It'll come out. Thanks. That's Bob from California.
All right, Bob. Thanks for the call. What do you think, Michael? One of the things, when he says we've all got cell phones now, of course he's alluding to the fact that communications technology, lots of different ways, are many methods are in the hands of many, many, many of us, most of us, and but see, really, I think that you talked about a shift in consciousness. I think that most people, maybe without even realizing it, have run past the spin and the spin doctors.
Right.
And they're just not buying that nonsense anymore. And,
no.
You know, look, I happen to be a trained observer. I spent my life, my career as a cop, and I happen to be a trained observer. However, even if I'm not a trained observer, I've had eyes all my life, and I know that when my eyes see a Coke bottle, I know it's a Coke bottle. When my eyes see a stone on the ground, I know it's a stone on the ground. And when my eyes see an airplane, I know that's what it is. When my eyes see a UFO, I know, while I may not know exactly what that thing is, I do know what it is not. It's not a stone on the ground, a Coke bottle, or an airplane. It's not a flare. It's not swamp gas or a weather balloon. And, you know, I think we've hopefully gotten to the point where most people trust their eyes and, you know, and just don't believe the nonsense and the spin anymore.
Right. Well, before we leave for the evening, if I could just give 3 websites that people can check out information.
Sure, please do.
One of them is channelforthemasters.com, is where you can go and find out about these transformational channel readings that I do for people. And the other one is prepareforthelandings.com, where you can actually download an e-book version of the book or order a paperback version of it. And then finally, UFOSkywatch.com is where you can find out about this wonderful conference coming up May 22nd, 24th, which, Kevin, you're also, I understand, going to be participating as well.
That's
and
true.
For people to see through Ed Grimsey's glasses and see the reality of UFOs.
Absolutely. And I hope everyone who can will come to Sedona for that conference. I think it's going to be, I know it's going to be, for many people, really eye-opening. Let me tell you this very quickly. Our affiliate station in Los Angeles is owned by a guy who used to be a rock musician, and he was a drummer with pretty well-known rock group. And I was out in Hollywood for Ed Grimsley's, he was affiliated with Moon Rising. He's one of the producers for Moon Rising, and they did a premiere. So I went out for that. And so because I was nearby, this fellow who owns our station that we're on out in Los Angeles came to the hotel and just so we could meet. You know, we've talked on the phone, we've exchanged email, but he just came so we could meet. And so he, myself, Ed Grimsley, and Bill Rayling all went out to a Thai restaurant, had Thai food, great food too, and then went back to the hotel and got Ed Grimsley's night vision goggles out, and he had a chance to look through them into the sky. And even though it was very cloudy and it was a terrible, terrible weather for trying to do sky watching, he was absolutely astounded when the clouds would part just a little bit. He could see things through those night vision goggles that he could not see with his naked eye. I'm talking right. about stars and constellations and things out in space. And it just opens up a whole new world. There's so much more there than you can see with the naked eye. And I think people are going to be absolutely astounded when they look through those night vision goggles. And whether they see a UFO or not, but they will. If the sky is clear, they will.
Yeah.
But even if they don't, they're going to be astounded to see.
Well, there's three nights, and there's plenty of events, and also we're serving organic, healthy food there for everybody, too.
I don't know if my body can stand organic, healthy food. Michael, I want to thank you for being with me. If you will, stay on the line with me for just a moment. I want to talk with you right after we close the show. All right, folks, there you have it. Another fantastic edition of the Kevin Smith Show, and we've got a whole week of these lined up for you. We got through it. You had to battle, and I had to battle to continue to hear Michael, but we did it, didn't we? All right. My friends call me Steel-Eyed. My enemies do, too. You call me whatever you want, okay? Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.